obtain. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God again from the Old Testament reading found in Isaiah 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." This is God's word. There's always this sort of pendulum in the church that swings far in one direction and then it tends to swing back in the other. For example, some of you might remember the days of what they called fire and brimstone preachers, right? Who talked about the reality of hell and tried to instill in the hearers a fear of hell. And they probably went overboard in doing so and not reassuring people of the place in heaven that awaits them. But the pendulum has swung so far the other way that maybe we don't talk about the reality of hell like we used to the point where some of us have forgotten that it is a real place for the unrighteous, for the wicked. Another way in which the pendulum has swung is from the days where coming to church meant putting on what was called your Sunday best. Some of you may remember days when men sat on one side of the church in their suits pressed and their shirts starched with a tie tied neatly. And the women and children sat on the other side, and any of the women had their hats that they would wear on their Sundays. And the children always looked put together because that's how it was supposed to be. But now, how has the pendulum swung? Where maybe we went a little overboard in the preparation we had to take for Sunday morning. Now, it's come as you are, right? Now it's a pastor instead of vestments and a robe. It's a guy in a vintage rock t-shirt and a pair of jeans and a pair of Converse tennis shoes standing not in front of an altar, but instead in front of a band. Instead of a God who is powerful and almighty, we emphasize the God who is human as Jesus was human. We see how the culture has tried to present this. There's a song lyric. I remember in seminary, we kind of used to roll our eyes and laugh at it that some actually sang this song. It says, "Oh, how he loves us." And they're talking about God. And then it says, "Heaven meets earth like a sloppy, wet kiss." I don't know if that's the kind of music that we should be singing. A 1995 book entitled "Jesus in Blue Jeans." In other words, Jesus is just a regular guy. And isn't that the Jesus we have in the gospel for the fifth Sunday after Epiphany? Jesus hanging out with the fishermen on the boat with Peter and James and John. But maybe we need to remember to center ourselves a little bit, and this reading from Isaiah 6 serves us well. Because here's Isaiah before the throne of God. The same Lord who is indeed human in the flesh of Christ is also the Lord upon a throne, surrounded by seraphim, angels that sing, "Holy, holy, holy." That threefold holy, Isaiah is in the presence of the triune God himself. So this idea that you come as you are, that's not good enough in the case of Isaiah. And in the gospel, it wasn't enough for Peter as well, was it? Simon, when he realized who was there in the boat with him, said, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." Isaiah's response is similar. "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You know, sometimes Christians will say something to the effect of, God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. The problem with that is sinners can't stand before the holy God. Peter recognized it, and Isaiah recognized it, that there's a problem when you're a sinner and God is holy. And the Lord doesn't say to Isaiah, it's okay, Isaiah. He doesn't say, I love you anyway, Isaiah. Now, the God of glory is a God of love, but what does he do? How does God reveal his love to Isaiah? Well, our text records, one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. This is how the God of love acts towards sinners. He doesn't leave them as sinners. He takes away their sin. He removes the guilt. He atones for the sin, Isaiah records. He absolves. It's a word that maybe we don't use enough anymore. We do have absolution in the church. The taking away of sin, removing it. Actually, what Isaiah is using here is temple language. He's using sacrificial language. Taking away of guilt, atoning for sin. That's the sort of thing that happened in the temple. Well, our reading does have an altar. That's where that coal had come from that the seraphim had. In order for sin to be removed, in order for guilt to be taken away, a sacrifice has to be made. Jesus Christ is the sacrifice for our sins. He's what we call our atonement. He's the sacrifice that pleases the holy God. Why was Jesus human? Not just to be one of the guys. I know we like to think of Jesus as this sort of everyday sort of guy who would wear blue jeans, who would watch a Packer game with you, maybe even drink a beer and laugh at a dirty joke, maybe even ask you to pull your finger if the mood so called for it. That's not the kind of Jesus he is. He's human to live the life that we have failed to live as one of us in our place. Human to die in our place. That's the true comfort of the fact that Jesus was a human being and still to this day is a human being, true God and true man, seated at his Father's right hand. He is man because he has identified with our sin, identified with our weakness, and identified with the reality that you and I can't come before God in his holiness. And yet, something truly miraculous happens. You and I, sinners though we are, we come forward tonight and we join our voices to the song of those seraphim. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. For you and I sing that song every time we gather in holy communion with one another and in holy communion with Christ our Lord, who comes to us in his body and blood. The voice of the Lord that spoke to Isaiah and called him and first absolved him, that same voice absolves you. It says, I forgive you all your sins. With the blood of the one sacrificed on the altar of the cross. Forget, hate the sin, but love the sinner. He changes you from sinners so that in his eyes, You are his holy people. Now, what is sung of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, holy, 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 can now be said of you. Because in the one who died upon Calvary's cross, you have forgiveness. You share in the holiness that emanates from the heavenly throne. And now, he comes to you like he came to Isaiah through a seraphim to touch your lips. He touches you tonight with the burning coal of body and blood given in bread and wine, given for forgiveness, given to take away guilt, given for atonement. You, holy people, come now before your holy Lord. You who are sinners and are so aware of your sin, and you're looking at your words and your thoughts and your actions, and I look at my words and thoughts and actions, we come to grips with just how sinful we are. To sinners like you and me, the Holy Lord speaks absolution. He takes it away. He removes it. As Psalm 103 says, he removes your sin as far as the east is from the west. Dear holy people of God, the Holy Lord has made you holy by the holy body and blood of his holy Son, who was holy in our place and perfect and blameless in our place. And now he invites you, holy people, holy children, to come forward and be touched for the forgiveness of your sins that is yours now and for forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.